My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
That was a shooting gallery up there.
I could hear the trembling in his voice.
She suffered a fairly severe beating. The video is pretty graphic.
Justice for us seems almost impossible.
It's not fun to watch somebody die, and they knew she was in mortal peril.
They have not asked the hard questions. Why was the Capitol intentionally unsecure that day?
The FBI had information about security concerns before January 6th.
They're out for blood, and they're getting it. They appear to be winning.
Were the actions of the Capitol Police out of line? Were there violations in use of force?
Now I describe it as an inside job.
I'm ready to do whatever God calls me.
There's an old Chinese saying my ancestors learned before the Communist Party took over our country. The family is the essential unit of human society, and that you must have honor and defend your family. But it's not always easy to do.
When the regime gives the order, you have to kill.
My heart was pounding. I felt my body bouncing and twisting on the floor. They put numbers on our shoulders, then separated us into rows of even and odd numbers. I was number 9. My brother, he's still in prison. And my sister, she was sent to a labor camp without a trial. But there's one piece of evidence they haven't been able to destroy yet. I left everything behind. If I can't expose what they did to us, then all of our suffering would be for nothing.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits, and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
What's the topic today?
We're on air. And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice in where you can listen each and every day. And I thank you for taking the time to tune into the program. Let's kick things off with I Believe, and I'll be back with my guest, Armstrong Williams, coming up right after this brief play.
Look, I am for marriage between a man and a woman. I am for life from conception.
I am for following the Bible, and I believe that our founders started this nation on biblical principles. I am in support of our military and believe that America should play a role in world security. I believe our Constitution was intended for a moral people and that the Bible contains the only true moral code. I believe we are all born sinners and that God in His grace and mercy sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins, and that if we will confess our sins, He is just and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I believe salvation is not just accomplished in a little prayer, but that it is found in how that transformation is lived out. Jesus is to be the Lord of our lives, and we should follow biblical precepts. This is not legalism or works, but a life lived out in love and honor towards the one who died for my sins. Faith without works is dead and is no faith at all. I believe that we will fall and that we need to have a repentant heart, and that God will ultimately bring us into perfect action through Jesus Christ. Spirit man perfected and soulish man in progress. I believe that we are not to live in guilt and shame when we fall, but we repent and get up and move closer to Jesus. I believe that if our nation will repent and turn from wickedness, that God will heal our land. I believe that as a Christian, I must occupy till He comes, and that to call evil wicked and to warn about those evil acts is a part of the mandate of Christianity. That to love also means to be willing to take the risk necessary to confront a friend with the truth in hopes that their heart will be turned because their life matters, even if it means, in that moment, they will possibly hate me. It means that I must risk scorn to stand for truth, and that I can never sit silently by while evil attempts to conquer the world. God is my everything, and Jesus is the love of my life. That does not make me weak, but strong, not silent, but bold, and not fearful, but courageous. Therefore, if you are my friend, while we may not fully agree, know that I share what I share because I care. If you strongly disagree with these beliefs, they are not debatable for me, and you can, if you choose, unfriend me. I do not say this in anger, but in love. I wish for you eyes to see and ears to hear that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation, and that God, not man, gets to decide what is truth, life, and the way. God bless you. And welcome back to Children Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. Thanks so much for joining me. And I'm very excited to welcome back to the program my next guest. He has joined us previously here on the program. He is a pugnacious, provocative, and principled voice for conservative and Christian values in America's public debate. With properties in Europe and the United States, he is also a multifaceted entrepreneur and a media mogul. I want to welcome to the program Armstrong Williams. Armstrong, welcome. Good to have you, sir.
It's good to be alive among the living.
Amen. Amen, brother. Having been dead four times, I can give a great big amen to that.
Yeah, when I wake up in the morning and I realize, oi, I'm alive. I said, thank you. I got a lot to work with today. That's all I need.
That's it. That's it. Okay. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And it's good to know, you know, your sexual orientation. That seems to be a big thing today. You gotta know that.
You know what? Here's the thing that is very interesting about that is, you know, we all live in sin. God has to forgive us hundreds of times a day. But I think what troubles me is when you need your sin to be respected, to make a law where what is right becomes wrong and what is wrong becomes right. And so that is my challenge. God gives us all free will to choose Him or reject Him. But when you have this transgender movement that's now beginning to say trans men, that trans men can have a menstrual cycle and they could bleed, it sort of demeans what women have had to fight for in this country through women's suffrage. Because more than any other demographic, this movement hurts women, whether there's biological males playing in the sports. So I don't want God to allow to legislate and make my sin okay so I can wallop in it and set an example so others begin to believe that it's all right, because the media doesn't challenge the sinful nature of the things that we do. No different than we allow people in California, if they steal anything less than $1,000, it's not a crime. It cannot be prosecuted. But the Bible tells us it is a sin to steal. And so what is happening now, they're trying to legislate sin into law. Why? Because they need respect. They need to feel good about themselves. They need to believe that they're okay, but they're not okay. They're not.
I agree.
And that's the issue.
I agree. Well, and I think, Armstrong, where the church has failed is the application of the full measure of the cross of Christ to defeat sin and death. I was talking to a gentleman just the other day who lives in a homosexual lifestyle. And I share with him, look, God loves you. Let's begin there, because he does. But he doesn't love the sin. And more importantly, all sin is born out of hurt and pain and causes more hurt and pain, ultimately. And so Jesus came to set us free from that hurt and pain. He came to transform us, because God has a better plan and a better purpose and a better way for us to live our lives. And, you know, we have fallen into the trap, I believe, brother, of, well, you got to give up this and you got to give up that. It's all about what I'm going to lose. How in the world? I mean, you're not, you know, years ago, you ever heard of those Nutter Butter peanut butter cookies?
Oh, yes.
Okay. So when I was a kid, man, that was my thing. I mean, I love Nutter Butter peanut butter cookies. So my mom would buy them, and I'd get them, but I had to have dinner first, and they came as a snack. Well, being about 8, 9 years old, I snuck into the kitchen one night, and I grabbed me up a whole package of them. And I went in my room, and I ate the whole package. Brother, I do not believe I've been so sick in my life. I was in the bathroom. I was sick. My mom's coming in. What's wrong with you? And I'm going, I don't know exactly. Man, I knew exactly what was wrong with me. Do you know that even the smell of Nutter Butter peanut butter cookies from that point on would make me nauseous?
You learn your life. You know, the thing about life is that we need him every hour, every minute of the day. And people, the reason why sometimes the struggle is so hard, the pain of the loss is so great, is because God has reminded us how much we need him. But the thing that people have to understand, no matter how much tragedy you have in your life, no matter how much loss, how much struggle or devastation, whether it's from natural disasters, senseless murders, senseless kidnapping, senseless sexual trafficking, you cannot allow anything to break your faith, because your faith and fear cannot exist together. Where there is fear, there is no faith. And where there's faith, there should be no fear. And so our struggles and our bondage of sin is to remind us that God, with his grace and mercy, because even us being at our best, we're not worthy of his kingdom, but his mercy. And it treats us all the same. And, you know, sometimes people plug into the social media likes and dislikes. We plug into our friends. We plug into sex, drugs, gambling. I mean, and we're disconnected from the Creator. And until we're connected to the Creator and find our peace in God, we're restless, because we're restless, O Lord, until we rest in thee. So everybody's trying to plug in this something to give their lives meaning, to make them feel special. But it's not only when you plug in to God and his commandments and what he expects of us, that's when he pours out his blessings to us and makes us understand nothing's impossible with God, but everything is impossible without him.
There's no question. There's no question. And the other part to this, going back to, you know, I got to give this up. No, if you're plugged into him, every single day is going to be packed with divine appointments and divine opportunities and encounters that are going to blow your mind. That truly are going to blow your mind. Opportunities will present themselves simply because you're walking in accordance to his will, in accordance to his path. And I agree with you that we're going to see struggle around us, but I truly believe that transformative power, that's one of the things Paul talks about in Colossians chapter 2, that old nature has literally been circumcised. It's been cut away. That's the freedom. That's the liberty. We're not in an Old Testament time where we're just consistently told about what we've done wrong. That's the Mosaic Law. That was the purpose of it, to instruct us the mistakes that we've made and how we have fallen short. But now through Christ, he's taken that old nature and put it on the cross. We need to let go of it. We need to say, okay, Lord, it is crucified. It is dead. It is gone. I'm reminded of Wendy and Peter Pan. And Peter Pan shows up and wants his shadow sewed back onto him. Man, that's us. That's us in our own sin nature. It's like, well, we were comfortable with it. So we're dragging it along behind us, okay? And then we're wondering why we're having some of the challenges that we're having. Let it go. Let it go. It's been cut off, man. It's been cut off.
Yeah, you know, I just find such peace and solitude in serving God. You know, it's never easy, nor was it ever meant to be. But people have to understand, we have to sacrifice a lesser good for a greater good. Because when you lie, you rob someone of the truth, and there's immediate reward. When you steal, you rob someone of their good, and there's an immediate reward. When you commit adultery and have sex out of wedlock, there's this immediate reward. But, you know, serving God is a long game. It's not this microwave mentality. We got to have it now. I mean, think about the story of Moses. For the first 40 years of Moses, this time, he lived in Egypt. People forget that it wasn't until Moses was 80 years old when he led the people out of Israel into the promised land. And remember, the 40 years after that, where he spent toiling, and he lived to be over 130 years old. But just look, Moses did not find his purpose until he was 80. And think about the message about Sarah. Sometimes people, it's not in your 20s or 30s or 40s when God can use you, but you got to be patient and you got to store up on his wisdom, on his word, on his knowledge, and you got to sacrifice this lesser good for greater good. Life is not easy for anyone. I don't care how people appear to be happy, how much they have. We all have struggles within. There's nothing special about us. We all sin. But what separates us are the choices that we make, our trust in God, to believe with faith. If we never had our prayers answered for us, if our life was like the life of Job, if he took everything from us and never touched our flesh, that kind of struggle makes you realize that God is the same then as he was then, as he is now, and as he will forever be. And that's what my anchor is because that's what I believe, because that's what sustains me every day of my life.
It's faith that perseveres. Yes. That's the key is to recognize faith that perseveres, and that a prayer not answered today is not a prayer not answered.
Amen.
Okay, you know, I mean, I remember in 2004 being given 3 to 6 months to live. My pituitary gland, my adrenal gland, my endocrine system collapsed. I had lost my business because of 9/11. I had to lay off 65 employees. I went from being worth over $5 million to being worth minus $1.5 million. you know, I mean, it was, and I lost my health. I ended up being introduced to naturopathic medicines and to deliverance ministry. And for 13 years, I ministered out of that. I had my best friend die on his kitchen floor, and God used me to raise him from the dead. Went to Africa and had a lame man get up and walk out of a meeting. He had been lying on that pallet for years. Walked home the next day, nearly half the village walked back with him. And I spoke to the pastor of that church about 2 years ago. That man served in that church for 10 more years. 10 more years. Walking back and forth every day. Fully healed. Blind woman healed. And yet in the midst of all this healing, I didn't get healed. But in 2017, when I dove from the passenger seat to the driver's seat to save my daughter's life in a terrible car accident where I broke 34 bones, I died four times. I was given a 2% chance to survive. But if I had not been taking all the naturopathics that I was taking for those 13 years, my body would not have had the natural nutrients that it needed to start the healing process. And I wouldn't have had the testimony that I've had over the last 4 years to share in India, where we've planted 750 churches, put in 42 freshwater wells, established 4 sewing schools for widows. We have an orphanage and a Bible school in Punjab, India. All as a result of God and a testimony and learning that you have to have faith that perseveres. That's what Paul says to us. You have need of perseverance. We are not those who fall back into perdition.
You and I were speaking earlier. I know we don't have much time left now. The premise of our conversation was going to be about Fox News. And what were you saying about it? The spirit just put something in my heart.
So Glenn Beck was on with Eric Bolling on Newsmax. And basically the gist of it was, is they were talking about that Fox News was doing matching funds with the Church of Satan, Planned Parenthood, and SPLC. And when they discovered that Eric Bolling and Glenn Beck were going to have this conference talk on air about it, they extended an invitation to Billy Graham's ministry, but they hadn't. Up to that point, no Billy Graham, no Franklin Graham, no Samaritan's Purse, nothing Christian, just the Church of Satan, Planned Parenthood, and SPLC, supported by Fox News. And my question to you that I had asked you was, as a media person, as a media mogul, as someone who owns multiple stations, has a significant footprint in media right now, there's this pressure by woke, and they've apparently broken Fox. There's this pressure to say, you better ESG up, you better DEI up, or else.
And well, I don't ever believe things are as simple as you just stated. I have to take whomever's word for it. That's what they're doing. But I also know they do a lot of good. There's stories that they report that would otherwise not get any kind of daylight, whether it's the Supreme Court, whether it's this wokeness, it's about the crisis in the classroom, the Hunter Biden story. There's a lot of good. Listen, media is owned by human beings. Human beings can be corrupted. They can be co-opted, and they can get in bed with people that you would never imagine just because of the almighty dollar and because of the money. But there's still good that they do. And the Bible tells us when we find good in something, we praise it. I don't need Fox to be perfect in order to watch it, because when I watch these other networks and see what they propagate and put on the airwaves, it's downright scary, and some of it is just evil. And so you have to understand, no different with the Dominion lawsuit, And I read those threads of emails and realized what Fox had perpetrated was so devastating to me. But then, like I said to you, I just realized they're just like everybody else. You know, if you won't trust, put your trust in God, because there's a failure in all mankind.
Amen. I agree that there is. I agree that there is. And then when you're in positions, I have a program. You have your platforms of influence. And by the way, I saw you the other day reporting you were in a war-torn area. Where were you? You were somewhere around the world, and you were given a report on, was it OANN? Or it was one of the...
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, anyway, it was outstanding. It was really cool. It was neat to see you. Anyway, but my point is that we have our own line of integrity that we can hold to.
Oh, yeah, listen, I'm going to hold on. You know, I can't be bought, so therefore I can't be sold. But you know what? I just can't. I can't, because, you know, God watches over me, and you know what? In the end, that's who I serve. There's just some, there are Rubicons I just cannot cross. But I don't have people, they have to adhere to my standard. You know, that's just who I am. And I have my own faults and shortcomings. But when it comes to compromising my message and putting something out that I don't believe in, or advocating something because somebody's paying me, that could never work for me. Because I can't be rented. You know, I'm free in that way. And I thank God that I'm in a position where I can say no to a lot of things, that I can fund it and sustain it for myself. And I'm fortunate there. But, you know, there's a lot of temptation out there. Mm-hmm. Money tempts people, whether it's the Chinese money, whether it's the mafia money, whether it's the sexual trafficking money. It's amazing what people will sell their souls for. But for me and my house, there's just some things I just cannot do. So I'm at peace every day with our broadcast and the programming we put out. And we allow all voices to be heard, even when social media and the Biden administration try to shut us down to the pandemic and COVID, because there are certain things they don't want to talk about, telling people the truth. I refuse to bow to that kind of pressure. It cost me, but it was a cost I was worth willing to pay.
Amen. Well, and God will restore what the enemy tries to steal.
Yes, always does.
God will restore what the enemy tries to steal. No question about it. And back to what you had brought up when we first were talking, and that has to do with this trans movement and what it's doing and the destruction to our children. We, just in closing, man, parents have got to get engaged and get involved. We've got to get parents back involved in putting a stop to this. And drag queens have no business having a story time with your little ones.
They can have a story time with adults and people of their likeness. You can go to adult clubs. You can go to adult, any place adults, but leave our children alone.
Amen.
That's my bottom line. Leave these babies alone. Okay.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm not trying to censor you with people who are mature enough and grown enough to participate with you, but leave the babies alone.
Amen.
And I'll fight for that every day.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Armstrong Williams, armstrongwilliams.com, armstrongwilliams.com. You can follow him there and find out about all of the media that he is involved in. And folks, it is a lot. It is a lot. And it's a true honor.
I always enjoy being on shows where we can talk about faith and what really matters in life.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, my dear friend. I greatly appreciate you being here. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back. Dr. Alan Linderman joins me on the other side. We're going to talk about OBGYNs, and we're going to talk about healthy babies, healthy pregnancies, and how to keep yourself healthy through that process, developing healthy families. Coming up right after this brief break, I'm your host, Pastor Greg. You're listening to Chosen Generation Radio.
So up next, we have ClanSlate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. ClanSlate is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts, which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is, if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution, or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size, regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen, or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off-limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. Thanks so much for being here. I do know you have a choice in where you can listen each and every day, and I thank you for keeping it tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio, and for those of you that are watching us, of course, at the website, ChosenGenerationRadio.com, on TECN TV as well, and all across our social media. And by the way, I want to say thank you to those that have been watching us out on Clout Hub. We broke 100,000 the other day over there on Clout Hub, so greatly appreciate that. Appreciate all of you that are picking us up over there. Well, I'm very pleased to have my next guest with me. He is an obstetrician with an interest in reducing maternal mortality. He's made it his mission to teach women and their families how to create the outcomes they want for their own health and pregnancy. I want to welcome Dr. Alan Linderman. Dr. Linderman, good to have you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, Greg.
Well, so let's, you know, it's interesting. There's a lot of different information out there regarding mortality rates, and some have even gone so far as to attack the American healthcare system being a you know, first world country for the mortality rate of pregnant women. And I think a lot of people don't really think about that. They just kind of think, well, you know, they've got a niece or they've got a daughter, or they've got a, you know, a friend of the family or what have you that gets pregnant. Everybody gets excited. And then it's just kind of assumed that, you know, 9 months down the road, there's going to be another life. And that's not necessarily the case.
Well, you're right. And, you know, the maternal mortality rate has, of course, been increasing. We know that. And most recently, we've gone up to, in the year of 2021, it is the total death rate in the United States is 1,205. And that's up from 800 the year before and 750 the year before. So we're increasing. Certainly, COVID has something to do with it, and probably the vaccinations have something to do with it also.
Well, okay, so let's, can we dig down on that just a little bit? And you know, you've been practicing for how many years, Dr. Linderman?
Well, I graduated residency in 81, so it's 40 years.
Okay. That, and thank you for that, by the way. Thank you for you. because the medical practice is a service to the community. And I think a lot of times folks don't remember that. My mom, when I was growing up, my mom worked in a pediatrician's office. And she basically ran that office. And of course, obviously, those were my pediatricians, Drs. Feldman, Ross, and Singleton, in Hayward, California. But as you have watched over the last 40 years, talk to me about the highs and talk to me about the lows, if you'd be so kind.
You mean as far as the maternal mortality?
Yeah, as far as mortality and just, well, and general health. I mean, there's been a lot of trends. In the last 40 years, we've seen a ton of different trends. At-home births, hospital births, different. I mean, a lot of different things. A lot of the Le Mans movement, as an example. So there's been a lot of different things that have transpired over that 40 years, and I would suggest possibly a lot of advancements. Am I incorrect, or am I?
There's been a lot of technical advancements. For example, we have ways of diagnosing non-invasive testing like blood draws, and so that's been replacing amniocentesis and some of the other more invasive studies. So we've got that. We also have the development of the electronic fetal heart monitor, which we hoped would actually benefit babies. It hasn't. It has simply increased the cesarean section rate. So in some ways we've gotten better, and in some ways we haven't. But I think one of the big problems I see today is we spend less and less time with the patients. So we know them not as well as we used to know them.
Right.
The other thing is that you have a lot of different people taking care of a pregnant lady. For example, she may run through 5 or 6 different obstetricians during her prenatal course. She may even see some nurse practitioners or some midwives. So, I have 6,000 births and no maternal mortalities. So I know how to prevent maternal death. And I think the best way to do that is for one doctor to see the patient with every visit or almost every visit. The other thing is that, insurance companies limit the amount of visits that a patient can get.
Yeah.
I've always given them as many as they needed. And I think it's really important to do that, to treat until the patient doesn't need treatment anymore.
That's interesting because as I think back to, the 1980s, right, that was when the HMOs were first rolled out. And
yes.
And that's when we began to raise the alarm and say, hold on a minute, if you're going to go down this path, now you're opening up. You're having non-medical people making medical decisions that are going to impact lives. And everybody said, oh, no, 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 no. But that has become a really big issue.
Well, insurance companies have influenced care a lot. As a matter of fact, we have this book over there.
Yes, Modern Medicine.
Yeah, and that's what we talk about is what happens when you insert people, insurance companies, HMOs, whatever you call them, in between the doctor and the patient. And no good has ever come of that.
Well, you know, I have a friend, Colin Gunn, who came from Scotland, and he lives, you know, here now. But he did a documentary called Wait Till It's Free. And he follows the path of several doctors and several small practitioners. And this is probably at least 10 years ago, probably 15 when he did the documentary, of small practitioners that were having to close their practices because the insurance companies had squeezed them so tightly, they literally could not. The numbers of patients they would have to see and the administrative burden, they would spend more time on administration and paying for staff to code. And I know, I ran a billing department for a radiologist for a period of time. It is ridiculous, the rejections that you get and the regurgitation of those because, well, you missed this code or we really wanted this little number over here, and it's insanity.
Well, you know, in the 80s, I had my private practice in Fargo, and I had 26 employees. And I had one person for billing and coding and one person for paying the bills. Later on, when I moved to Harvey, a small town, 2,500 people in North Dakota, I had about 10 employees, but three of them were for billing and coding. So the billing and coding mess has just increased. And, you know, Medicaid is the worst problem. My wife once submitted a Medicaid bill 8 times before they paid it. Because, as you say, there's this little box up here and this little dot over here, and the paper's the wrong size and it's the wrong color. And there's so many reasons they use. And what they're hoping is that you'll give up.
No doubt. I owned a subrogation company for a number of years as well, and we did millions of dollars in recoveries. But a lot of it was we would get files placed with us from the client who had just exhausted their efforts, and we would just have to kind of tweak it and then go in and literally read the insurance company their own policy and say, yeah, right here you say you're going to have to pay this. Now, pay me, or I go ahead and I file an insurance claim with the commissioner of the insurance in the state that you're in, and let's see how well that works out for you.
Well, yes, you're right. I mean, it is interesting. If they make it so hard to get a bill placed, on the other hand, most of the times, if you are persistent, they'll tell you what you need to do, but it takes some time.
Yeah, where I was trying to come up with this E&O, and basically, you know, when you just say to them, okay, that's fine, just go ahead and refer me to your E&O department. What do you mean? Well, I mean, you've made an error and you've omitted paying a claim that was righteous, so send me over there, because now you're going to pay with blood. It's all coming out. All right, so let's go back to, as a practitioner, you have had 6,000 successful full-term deliveries and lost no patients.
No moms.
No moms. Okay. But perhaps a baby or two along the way.
Yes, sometimes, you know, they'll come out at 20 weeks and there's not much you can do with that. So, right. Yeah, there's been, but very, very few of those. Usually, again, it's a matter of listening to the mother. If you pay attention to what she says, if you honor what she says, things can work out pretty well for the most part. I had an old friend who is now, unfortunately, no longer living, but he said, if you listen, they'll tell you.
So based on all of that experience, and I know we want folks to pick up the book because we want folks to understand and to have a healthy and successful pregnancy and to pass that information on to their loved ones as well.
Yes. Thank you.
What would you suggest as maybe the top three things? I know we talked a lot about listening, but if we could go you know, what do moms say to you? What is one of the top things that moms say to you that keys you in, and then you do X, which is different than maybe what a lot of other practitioners are doing?
Well, you're right, Dr. Craig. Pastor Craig.
I'm trying here.
One of the things we have to really, really listen for is contractions. Is this mother having contractions?
Okay.
And, you know, 1 year ago, I had a lady come in. She said, I'm having Braxton Hicks every 5 minutes. And I thought, no, you're either having labor every 5 minutes or you're having Braxton Hicks at some other time. Anyway, I checked her cervix. She's about 26 weeks and 5 centimeters.
Wow.
So I did. I put her in the hospital.
Yeah.
And we had her in the hospital for about 10 weeks. Then I sent her home and she actually delivered at term. But, you know, I had to listen to her and I had to honor her concerns.
Right.
The other thing, you know, there's a lot of problems with this now. And that is moms going to the labor and delivery telling the nurses and the doctors that they don't have enough movement. Now, if you go to some place like ProPublica or NPR, they have these stories about the mom goes in 3 times complaining of not enough movement. The nurses tell her that she's hallucinating. She goes in the 4th time and the baby's dead. And then they tell her she should have come in sooner. So
wow.
You have to listen. You know, when a mom comes in and tells you that she's not sure about her movement, you really have to honor that because it's the canary in the coal mine.
Sure.
It's your best way to save these babies by listening to moms.
Now, I'm just, you know, in that instance, the mom comes in and says, "Hey, I'm not sensing a great deal of movement, or the movement seems to have changed, the pattern seems to have changed." Then what would the doctor's response to that be? Is it time to do the C-section and get that baby out of there? Or is there something that mom can start doing dietarily? I mean, what's the answer?
Well,
an answer. And I realize, and by the way, folks, you know, Dr. Linderman is not giving medical advice and he's not, you know, so I don't want you to come back and bite us, but, what are some of the things that you might recommend to someone that's having that issue?
Well, I'd recommend even before they have the issue, I call it a kick test or a home non-stress test. Some doctors don't like it because they think that it provokes more testing. In other words, it's expensive.
Okay.
In my experience, and this is how I would tell the patients to do the test, in the second half hour after they've eaten, for example, if they finish eating at noon, begin at 12:30 and go to 1, and the baby should move 10 times. And a movement is that, and that's 2 movements. So I explain to them, and if they have to lie down on their left side, but most moms and most babies will have 10 movements in 10 or 15 minutes. So most of the time, they take care of themselves at home. And if they tell me that test is off, then they have to come in and get what we call a non-stress test. And that's where you put the monitor on the baby and the mother, and you measure the baby's movements. You look for variability in the heart rate.
Okay.
And you look for the size of the baby and the amount of the amniotic fluid that's available. So if the baby passes all those tests, it's most likely that she can go home. The test is valid for about 3 days, so you would have to have them come back every 3 days, and I have done that for some patients. But I think the home non-stress test or the kick test is extremely valuable because it's, again, one of the things that we do that helps moms help themselves at home.
Because it gets them tuned into it, right? You're training the mom now to be aware or more aware of something because she's busy. She gets into nesting. She's doing all the things that a mom begins to do in pregnancy. Hormones are kicking in. All those kinds of things are going on. And in the midst of all of that noise, something could be missed. And this is a way for a mom to be able to have also a sense of peace about what's going on. Because, hey, no, everything's cool. We're moving. You know, I laid down after I ate this afternoon and everybody was happy. And I got up and I moved around and I did this and I had dinner tonight and I went ahead and laid down to take a little rest and everybody's happy. It's a means by which to bring some peace of mind to a mom that's kind of a neat thing.
It works very well, and it's part of what I did. You know, the best thing you can do if you want to have a really good outcome is to involve your patient in everything as much as you can, because they're really their best advocate. For example, you know, I've never had a mom have I've had a lot of moms with preeclampsia, and that's usually starts out with high blood pressure. But I've never had a mom have a seizure or a stroke or any of the problems that you can get with preeclampsia. And one of the reasons for that is I ask them to get a blood pressure cuff and monitor their pressure at home.
Okay.
So they know what's happening to their blood pressure. So it's not a matter of, oh, see you in a month. The other thing is that one high blood pressure is really, again, it's the canary in the coal mine. It's sometimes, you know, you send the patients to the hospital and the nurses will check the pressure 10 or 15 times until they get a low one and then record that. That is not helpful. What's meaningful is the one high blood pressure. I don't know whether you read about Tori Bowie or not, but she's been very popular. You know, the fastest female runner.
Okay.
And she died at home in labor at 8 months. And there's precious little information on her. You know, when you go to I've read everything I could read about her. But the baby, of course, didn't live, and she didn't live. So it's a mistake to think that just because you're healthy, you can't get preeclampsia.
Right. Right.
But I don't.
Well, it's a mistake to think that just because you think you're healthy, that everything is okay. I was in the best shape of my life at the age of 42. I was at 217 pounds. I was 13% body fat. I was benching 355. I was curling 125. I worked out 6 days a week. I was eating, I thought, healthy. I was taking supplements. I was doing all those things. And I suddenly ended up with pericarditis. And then I ended up with umbilical hernia surgery. And then gallbladder surgery that turned into a liver infection. And then I ended up with pneumonia. And then pleurisy. And then shingles. And then my entire endocrine system collapsed. And if you had told me 6 months earlier that could happen based on how healthy I felt and seemed, I would have told you were nuts.
Well, you're right. Things can always sneak up on you. And that's why I've asked my patients to get to check their own pressures at home.
I think the other piece to it, too, is underlying pressures and stresses. One of the things that I'm hearing as I listen to you is that you're giving your patient tools to ease what could become stressors or what have you. In other words, here's a blood pressure cuff. Now, that's not an unknown. Here's a test to make sure that the baby's moving, and here's how much movement you should have and when you should have it. And now, hey, that's not an unknown. So you're eliminating the unknowns, and it's the unknowns that tend to cause us the most worry and anxiety because we just don't know.
Well, you're right. And of course, when you see the patient every month or every week yourself, you get to have a good relationship with them. You know what's normal for them. I've always invited the family, for example, when the mom came in, the dads came in.
Yeah.
And they had two or three kids, they came in too. And one of the reasons I did that is because dads are really helpful, or can be, in labor. And there's a lot of times when a mom is in labor and she's almost ready to deliver, and she says, I can't do this. I can't do this. And the only thing I can do at the time is say, yes, you can do this, and this is how we're going to do it. And dads are very helpful then when we need that. You know, you have to know what's in the patient's head.
Yep.
Be able to attach to it and draw on it and make use of it to help them through that labor.
It's interesting you bring that up. We've only got about 4 minutes left, but we have watched, and I'm sure you have over this 40 years, the rate of single moms having kids without a father being engaged, being involved, being around. How important, in your opinion, after 6,000 of these, is dad in that process of a successful pregnancy?
Well, yes, dad is extremely important in a successful pregnancy, and very important postpartum. You know, that's when, as a matter of fact, your title was, when can we end postpartum depression? I thought, oh, great.
I'm so sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. But dads are very important. Postpartum depression isn't like normal depression. It has a lot to do with your attitude. You know, how are you managing your pregnancy? Do you think it's okay to get up three times a night with a seven-month-old? Well, it's not okay. You know, so something is going on, and you just need to talk to somebody about it. You need to iron it out. You need to, you can do this, and, you know, maybe have dad get up in there once or twice. But, you know, at 7 months, baby should wake up once a night, not three or four times a night. So it's practical. It's not how many antidepressants you can give somebody, but it's maybe you should not be getting up three times a night with his baby.
Right, right. Well, and a lot of that too is you have a baby that's testing the limits, and you've got to learn as a new parent how to. Sometimes you just got to you let them, and you got to know the difference. You got to know an urgent whine, an emergency whine, versus I'm just trying to get some attention whine, and that I'm trying to get an attention whine in the middle of the night is one that you just kind of say, no, you're going to learn to sleep through the night, and this is how that's going to work out, and they will. They'll go to sleep. They'll go like, oh, well, I don't really need you. I just thought I'd, interrupt your sleep.
Yes, you're certainly right. You have to adjust, If I were going, my biggest risk patients were the ones who thought there wasn't going to be any change after delivery. You know, you bring the new baby home and things are not going to be any different than they were before the baby. Well, that's a big mistake.
You know what? And you are going to have times, especially in the early days, when, sleep is going to be something that you're going to have to find in small naps and bits and pieces. And you need to plan according to that, because the baby is going to require your time. We always created a nursing bed. So we had, my wife was with the baby. I was, we had a family bed kind of a situation. We've had five kids, and that really seemed, once my wife kind of got clued into that, that seemed to work really, really well. Because then if the baby needed to nurse, there we go.
You know, we did the same thing. And of course, the American Academy of Pediatrics hates the family bed. But I can tell you this, if my kids had stopped breathing, I would have woken up. I would have known that.
There you go. Thank you. Dr. Linderman. I greatly appreciate it. Linderman, that's M-A-N-N. Linderman, M-A-N-N, M-D.com. LindermanMD.com. Get the book Modern Medicine, folks. Pick up that book, Modern Medicine, and you can pick it up wherever fine books are sold.
Amazon. Yep.
There you go. Dr. Allen, thanks for being with me today. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Pastor Greg.
And I'm going to take a break. We'll be back. Ken Thornburg with us on the other side. We're going to talk about spiritual warfare and equipping you as a believer to fight the evil we're fighting in the world today. Back with more coming up right after this brief break.